Book of Job.
Last couple of weeks, we have been preaching on affirmations of God's sovereignty in the Bible and how we ought to take comfort in knowing that God is in control, that everything is completely under His control, even when we think that things are out of control and it looks like the world is just going stark raving mad. It ought to cheer our hearts to know that our God is an everlasting King, that He has a purpose that is being worked out. There are no flaws in His plan. Everything He does is right. And the Bible says that those who are the called according to His purpose, He is working everything for our good and for His glory. And as we ponder the sovereignty of God, the sovereign grace of God, in saving poor sinners who can't help themselves, who are weak and covered with the dirt and the filth and the grime of this world. And yet God lifted us out, cleaned us up, set our feet on a rock, established our goings, put a song of praise in our mouth, put joy in our hearts, gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, gave us all the promises of the Word of the living God that are true and sure and steadfast. Oh, tonight, how we ought to be filled with a sense of comfort, of peace, and of joy. Our God reigns. And I read a quote today by A.W. Pink. And I thought this was such a powerful quote. He said this in his book, Gleanings in the Godhead. Were all the denizens of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth to combine in open revolt against God, it would cause Him no uneasiness. It would have less effect upon His eternal, unassailable throne than the spray of the Mediterranean's waves has upon the towering rocks of Gibraltar. So powerless is the creature to affect the Most High, Scripture tells us that when the Gentiles' heads unite with apostate Israel to defy Jehovah and His Christ, He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Nothing worries God. We ought to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now, if you really believe in the sovereignty of God, that He is an everlasting King, that all His ways are right, that He has a purpose that is eternal and that is being fulfilled, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? It ought to have an effect upon your life. You and I, who are saved by the grace of God, we should not worry. We shouldn't fret, especially about things that we have absolutely no control over. Tonight, as we prayed for those that are sick and afflicted, Why do we pray to the Lord about these folks? Because we have no power to heal them. We go to God. We can't control what they're going through. And so we go to the only person who can. And we leave it in His hands, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The reason I want us to not just believe the truth of God's sovereignty, but I want us to learn to apply it, to live it, to every day acknowledge, Thou God seest me, You know my way, You know my thoughts before I even think them, and I'm trusting You with everything. Job chapter 12, and this is the oldest book of the Bible chronologically. It's not in the order of Scripture, but it is the oldest book. It's the first book that was written. And Job is doing the speaking now. And he says in verse 7, But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. He's saying, this creation that God has established and the things that dwell in it, they can teach you things. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all thee, that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? God reigns. Doth not the ear... And again, I know that you probably get tired of me saying this, but almost everywhere in the Bible you read about some vital doctrine. And you know what it's linked to a lot of times? God as the Creator. God as the one who is the intelligent designer and the bringer forth of all things that have to do with this universe. I'm telling you tonight, you can't worship God right if you don't recognize Him as the sovereign Creator, the one who brought everything into existence by His power and upholds everything by His power. Now, he says in verse 11, Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With Him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, He breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. I tell you what, when God does a work against somebody, they're not going to recover. Men should fear God. They ought to bow and tremble before His holy hand. Behold, He withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, He sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. Think about that. He sent the waters of the flood. They literally overturned the earth. The sediment was all mixed up. It's the reason why you have fossils that are animals that were trapped so quickly in the cataclysmic worldwide flood. Here is a biblical reference to it. God overturned the earth with a flood. With Him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are His. God owns everybody. He rules over everybody. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. Boy, I think that's true in our day, isn't it? He looseth the bond of kings and giveth their loins with a girdle, girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out the light, the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. God has the power to raise up nations and to bring them down, and even to restore them. Just read the history of Israel. God, it's been, God's blessed them, they sinned, He's judged them, then they go and ask for grace, He gives it, they foul up again, He, over and over, it's the whole history. And finally, when they cried out when the Savior was going to be crucified, let His blood be upon us and our children, God dispersed them for 2,000 years. And yet, He will not cast off His people which He hath foreknown. And there they are, not regenerated, but they're back in their land awaiting the coming of their Messiah. And I believe they're going to look upon the one whom they pierced. And God's going to pour out the Spirit of grace and supplications upon them, and they're going to be saved in a day. How miraculous is that? He raises them up, He brings them down, and He can even restore them. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Oh, how awful it is to have God withdraw Himself from a people. You'll stagger in darkness like a drunken man. Now tonight I want to start a different way we're going to look at this. Instead of just looking at the doctrine of God's sovereignty and affirming that it's true from the Bible, now we're going to see how believers profit from the teachings of God's sovereignty. How does this profit your spiritual life? How does this teaching, what bearing does it have? And by the way, everything in the Bible, this is how we ought to view it. How does it affect me? How should this govern the way I behave and think and act and live? Well, if you believe God's sovereign, you really believe it, you're going to be one of the most happy, peaceful people on planet Earth. Now, Job is the oldest, it's the first and oldest book of the Bible. And when you read the book of Job, you see how much Job benefited from a genuine, sincere belief in the sovereignty of God. Now, mind you, he didn't have the works of A.W. Pink to read. He didn't have all of the Holy Scriptures that you and I had to have. All he had was God Himself. God revealing himself to Job. And I want you to see, right from the very beginning, Job understood the power, the sovereignty, the majesty, the worthiness of God. Look at Job 1 and verse 21. This amazes me. After he had been stripped of everything, all his possessions, all his family, only his wife was left, and she was cussing him. She was, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Mind you, everything had been taken from Job because God permitted Satan to afflict him. And look at Job's response. Man, this is so powerful. Here is somebody that believed in the sovereignty of God in the greatest crisis of his life. He said in verse 21, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All right? He was covered from head to toe with boils, and his wife told him in verse 9, wouldn't this be awful? I mean, you're at your lowest point, okay? Every possession's gone. Your kids are gone. They have been taken away. Everything dear to you. You're on an ash heap. Your whole body is full of sores. And this wicked woman has the audacity to say, I mean, this troubles me. That here's a guy, it's like she's kicking the ashes in his face. No comfort whatsoever. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine honor, thine integrity? Curse God and die." Wow. Man, no, Proverbs, a brawling woman in a wide house. You know what I mean? This is a brawling woman. Kicking her man when he's at his lowest point. Ladies, don't do that. Let's apply this. Don't do that to your husband. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He believed in the sovereignty of God. When everything was stripped from him, taken from him. Look over at Job 13. Now, listen, that's why I've never been one to throw rocks at Job. There's times when you read the book of Job where you can't believe some of the outlandish things that he says. But then I go back to, this guy's covered in boils. Satan is attacking him. He's got trouble after trouble. Listen to what he says in Job 13:15. This is so amazing. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." This is somebody that applied what he knew about the sovereignty of God. Okay. That's, I don't know what lies ahead for any of us personally or as a church. We may be facing the headwinds of persecution and the hatred of this world. We may lose everything we have materially, economically. Will we be able to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job obviously didn't know everything about God, but he did understand that God reigns supreme and that all things were under his control and that he was executing his purpose. Now, how do we make application? How do we profit? Number one, a belief in God's sovereignty deepens our reverence and respect for God. Did you notice how Job spoke very reverently about God? He spoke with a sense of awe and wonder. And you'll see it throughout all the things that he said in the book of Job. So we ought to have, if you really believe God is sovereign, we ought to have a reverence and a respect for Him. And it enables us to understand why God does what He does. Why He created all things. Look over at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Here's the connection. God as the sovereign creator. Is it any wonder that the climate commies of our world want people to think that men can somehow heal the planet as if it belongs to them? It doesn't belong to them. It's not our planet. It belongs to God. And I'm going to trust Him. I'm not going to trust politicians and elites. I'm trusting God. I get sick and tired of these people that just bloviate with and are arrogant. You believe in the sovereignty of God and He as the sovereign creator, you'll bow before Him in reverence. But again, here's another connection. Listen, anybody that believes that men can somehow control the climate and the weather and all, they're atheists. It's a fact. They don't believe God's the creator. Look what it says. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So we understand why God created everything. It's for His glory. And really, when you start looking at it that way, isn't the creation an amazing thing? My wife has some way of, I don't understand all the mysteries of YouTube, but she's got a way of getting this YouTube thing that comes up, and all of these scenes and this beautiful music is playing, and these scenes go over, and it just displays the glory of God's creation. Wow, it's amazing, man, and it makes our house so peaceful. Thanks, honey. She knows the mysteries of that YouTube. I don't even know how to get on it. Now, we understand also the immutability of God's will. He doesn't change like human beings do. You ever had somebody just turn on you in a New York minute? God, He is steady all the time. He never changes. We understand the immutability of God's will. It's not fickle. It can't be changed by men or devils or circumstances. How that ought to cheer our hearts. God is staying the course. And we're part of His plan, His work. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 99. In verse 1, the Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. God's immutable will magnifies His sovereign grace. Now, I don't know how many points I got. Looks like I got 10 points. And we're already through the first one. Well, that's great. We'll pick up there next week, God willing. Get on to point number 2. How believers profit from the sovereignty of God.
Brother Malo, you dismiss us in prayer.